Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for your promise of rest. Thank you, God, for your righteousness, your righteous judgment, as well as your righteous freedom. And God, may your word speak to us today. May your spirit anoint us, and may we learn. And if there's anybody here that needs to labor to rest, may it be today the day that they understand what your grace is. We need you, God. Must have you here with us. Please, we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, continuing our study with who the book of Hebrews was written to, the first three chapters, we realized we were kind of reading something that may or may not apply to us, that we would have to kind of filter some things for us, because the book was written to convince Jews that Christ was who he said he was. One of the things coming out of the Jewish culture that is so important was what's called the commandments. In the book of Exodus, in the 20th chapter, we're going to read the Ten Commandments. Movies have been made of them. Now, let me explain to you what it was to be a Jew. When you were called a Hebrew or a Jew, you had to keep the law of Moses. There were some 300 and some odd laws. There was dietary laws. There was social laws. There was marital laws. There was laws about all aspects of life. And in order to be a Jew, you had to keep them. But they quickly found out, you can't. It's really, really hard to keep the commandments, the 300 plus. So every year, they would have to go during the Feast of Purim and atone for their sins. If you were wealthy, you would bring an ox and you'd bring it inside to the temple, and the priest would have you put your hands on the ox, and they'd cut the thing open and the blood would spill, and this was your sin. If you weren't as rich, you'd brought a lamb or a ram. You had wave offerings and peace offerings and all these different things that you had to do so that you were right with God. Generations and generations, there was a promise made that the Messiah would come and put an end to all this suffering. When will Messiah come? When are we going to have to stop? Because literally the day after you leave the temple, after sacrificing your sin offering, your neighbor's wife walks out to feed the goats or whatever, and you lust after her. I got to start all over again. And that's how the process was for generations upon generations upon generations, until that one day, that amazing day, the greatest words in all of mankind ever spoken, by John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not the sins. He doesn't take away our sins. He takes away our sin. He coats us with Teflon so that when we sin, it falls right off. You understanding this? But digress back to the Ten Commandments. Let me set something up. I'm going to present it in a little bit of a judgmental way until we get to the point, so don't get appalled or offended. Chapter 20, the book of Exodus, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not serve them. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commands. First commandment, so far, how are you doing? You have anything before God? You guys are good with that? That's good. So you guys didn't show up to church last week. What happened? Guess you had something before God, didn't you?
Well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian.
You don't?
Where does it say that?
Well, let's start at Hebrews, the very book we're reading. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren, as the manner of some. And so much the more, even as we see the day approaching. How about I will plant myself in the house of the Lord? How about he who plants himself in the house of the Lord shall be still bearing fruit in old age? How many more verses you want? What's your excuse for not being here last week? You all weren't here on Wednesday. What's up? Oh, you had other things to do? Better things to do. Yeah, that's called an idol. Now, please remember, I said to you from the beginning, I'm being judgmental intentionally. We're going to go somewhere, and I'm going to explain what I'm doing to you. So please, I see the faces like, oh, dude. Don't dude me yet, okay? I'm just messing with you. I'm trying to paint a picture for you of what the Jews had to go through. Do you understand? This is what the Jew had to go through. This is what somebody... Now, if you remember a couple weeks ago we talked about, there's a Bible verse that says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And it really doesn't matter what religion you're a part of. It really doesn't. I don't care if you're a Buddhist, a Sikhist. I don't care if you're a Taoist. I don't care if you're about... I don't care what you follow. If you're searching after God and not just a cultural religion, the Lord Jesus will reveal himself to you if you are searching for God truly and not just following the crowd. You understand what I said there? So the true Jew that was following after God, that was really wanted to please God, you know, he got home from the Feast of Purim. It's a 7 to 14 day feast and a fast. And felt good and he felt clean and he felt... And as soon as he messed up, you know, somebody came to his feet to buy something and, oh, is that 10 pounds of meat or, oh no, this is 8 pounds of grain. No, it's 10 pounds of grain. And, oh, man, I did it again. Oh, I did it again. And this is how we can relate. You guys are going to wake up tomorrow morning after Sunday church and you're going to feel good and you're going to feel strong and you're going to feel full. But somewhere around 10 o'clock in the morning, you're going to know, man, why do I get so weak so fast? Right? I mean, I know I do. Maybe you all don't. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What is taking the Lord's name in vain? I don't know. Swear to God. I mean, I don't mean I swear to God. I mean, oh my God. No, I don't mean, oh my God. I mean, what's that term they always say in movies and oh no, I don't want to say that here. No, that, huh? Yes, exactly. The gosh darn it one, which is just, it's like shocking my soul when I hear somebody say that. And the comedians do it all the time. They think it's just the funniest thing in the world. I just don't get that for the life of me. Don't they know that everybody knows those four-letter words? Everybody knows them. And they think they're so edgy when they say it, right? Like Miley Cyrus showing her top half. Like, is there anybody who hasn't seen Miley Cyrus's top half yet? I mean, like, girl, get over it. Nobody cares anymore. Remember the Sabbath day. Uh-oh. Keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor shall your son, nor daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Whew. You know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, boy, you know who had a lot of problem with the Sabbath? The priests who had to work in the temple. Like, let's say you all might be sitting here going, yeah, today's my Sabbath. I'm just chilling. Well, I ain't. You guys are causing me to break the Sabbath. I hope you're happy with yourself. Well, you see, the thing is, we just started a new business. No. Well, the thing is, my car broke down, and what were you doing driving your car? Well, the thing is, my dog ran in the street. Can't work. You let him go. Yeah, it's that detailed. So I want you to, am I painting this picture properly yet? The Jew lived every single day. How can I work for God today? What do I have to do today? Today, today. God demands of me this. God demands of me that. The demands, the demands, the demands. Are you with me? Continuing. We're only not even halfway through. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, the word honor in the original language meant a lot of things, but one of the things that it meant most, this, guys, a little scratch. You taking care of your mom and dad? You paying for them yet? You're supposed to let them retire and you take care of them. You're supposed to clear out a room in the garage and let them come and live in it. That's honoring your mother and father. Chase, you got a bedroom in your house for mom? You understand what's going on here? Man, I was really hoping for an empty nest situation, you know? As soon as that nest gets empty, there's an older bird who's... You shall not murder. I'm good on that one today. Notice something, and this is really important. It doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. Big, big difference. Some people need to die. And I mean that sincerely. But it says not murder. That's taking an innocent life, not defending your family, protecting others. Many police officers have had to kill. That doesn't mean they broke the commandment. They didn't murder, they killed. You with me? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. How you guys doing on this stuff? Here, let me throw something in here. The Lord Jesus put it this way. You ready? The Lord Jesus said this. If you look at your brother with hate in your heart, you just killed him. If you look at your neighbor's wife with lust, you already committed adultery in your heart. Now how you doing? Now, why was the Lord saying that? Was he saying that? Because here's what we do. This is so crazy. We're so, as people, we're so out of our minds. We have this tendency to think that even though God doesn't judge sin, man does. So thus we think to ourselves, well, if I already committed adultery with my eyes, I might as well do it the rest of the way. No, 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 no. That's not the way it works. That's not how it works. There is something between what is what they call perfunctory or surface or basic sin of the day versus a besetting lifestyle sin, which could really sink your entire life. Here's what we do. Let me put it to you this way. If you tithe 10% of your finances, according to the Bible, God will bless you. If you honor the woman or the man that you're with by not engaging in sexual intercourse with them before you get married, God will bless your marriage for it. If you do certain things in holiness, the blessing will flow from God upon you in that area. If you don't do those things, God doesn't punish you, but you don't get those blessings. Well, that's not fair. On whose part is it fair? On my part or your part? On his part or our part? Well, God's very clear. Listen, if you want your finances to be blessed, give to his work, whether it's to the church that you're a part of, one of the missionaries I mentioned. If you want God to bless your finances, to sanctify your finances, you do that. Well, I want the blessing, but I don't want to do that. Therefore, God's punishing me. No. You have not chosen to do your part. That's just not fair. I understand you believe that's not fair. Do you guys understand what I'm saying at all? The ball is in our court. talk to some single brothers, and they tell me of their struggles. And I say, listen, I understand your struggle. Do yourself a favor. Don't watch porn. Don't play with prostitutes. Don't do those dumb things. Yeah, but there's other things that happen. Let God worry about that. But if I've already stared at this, don't do that. Why am I bringing this up, guys? Please understand. This is what we're talking about. If I'll do all these things, will God love me more? The Jew thought so. And here in the book of Hebrews, in the fourth chapter, come with me there. He's talking to a people who are tired. Generation after generation after generation. Not unlike what's happening in many churches today that are living in a situation that tells people, you have to do this, you have to do that, here's what you got to do, don't be gay, make sure you give your money, don't smoke pot, don't do that, the tattoos in the Old Testament were bad, selling real estate is bad because you follow what I'm saying? And here's the laws, and here's the rules, and here's the regulations that have gone, what the Bible called Judaizers, from the world, now it's in the church. And it's no wonder some people just like, tired, man. Why do you think I don't want to go to church anymore? I'm tired of being told that I don't measure up. I'm tired of being told, don't do this, don't do this. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You following me? So, with that laid foundation, and if I brought it on too hard, I am sorry. Whoever it is that wrote the book of Hebrews, let's give the Holy Spirit the credit. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest. Now, whenever we see that word therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what's that therefore? We go back to chapter 3 and verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter because of unbelief. Now, today's Bible study, today's message is going to start to make a little bit of sense to you. The Jews were expected to do certain things, and in order to do those things, God would love them the more. In order to be a true Jew, in order to be a good Jew, you had to do these things. I just read some of them to you out of the more than 300. And here, the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, says, like you ever see that movie, The Help? Aren't you tired yet? Ain't you tired? I don't know what your salvation looked like, but here's what mine looked like. Man, I was waist deep in the world, guys. I wasn't walking out of the water. I was walking deeper into the water. I was waist deep, trying to get neck deep in the world. And somehow, some way, God just reached up and he grabbed me and he put me on dry land. And like, what do I do now? I didn't know what to do. All right, well, I guess now I'm not supposed to curse. I'm not supposed to smoke. I'm not supposed to drink. I'm not supposed to cheat. I'm not supposed, you know, fill in the list of everything that we place on Christianity, our white Anglo-Saxon Christianity, or our black church experience Christianity, or whatever it is in between those two, that you're Catholic or... And now all of a sudden, I now know Jesus, so now I have to be like everybody that I've seen in movies and TV that was like Jesus. I have to become a Republican. I have to not believe in evolution. I have to stop being, you know, all these things. We lay this trip on ourselves. And because I was a disciplined, athletic type of person, I was that in my mind, and I went about my business. Reading the Bible every day because that's what you're supposed to do. And running a 100% legitimate business because that's what you're supposed to do. And then I was tired. I was really tired. I was like, I can't measure up to this. I can't be this good. Anybody amen in this? I mean, like, ugh, what did I just do? Went out with my friends and drank a couple of beers and came home feeling so guilty. What did you do? What did you do? We don't do that anymore. I got mad one time and I cussed one of my friends out. Like, what did you do? I was still in a band, guys. I had this rock and roll band. I moved down to Florida to join a rock and roll band. And I was still touring. So here I was a Christian, but yet I was singing these songs that my band wrote that weren't glorifying to God. And every show that we did, I was like, what am I doing? And some of it was God just knocking on my heart and going, I'll take that from you when you're ready. But some of it was just me. I have to do this, and I have to do this, and if I don't, God's not going to love me. Maybe he's going to take my salvation away. Maybe he's going to stop blessing me. Maybe my kid's going to get hurt because maybe I'm going to break down in my car. But I know why I broke down in my car. I broke down my car yesterday. I cussed my wife out. And everybody knows when you cuss your wife out, your car breaks down. We're absolutely, positively sure that when anything bad happens, we deserved it. We don't look at it as an opportunity. Okay, well, God had my car break down. That must mean the guy that's going to come pick me up in the tow truck driver needs a prayer. No. I broke down because yesterday I was watching TV and this guy had a truck that was nicer than mine and I lusted after his truck. I coveted the truck. Now God's punishing me with me breaking down in my car. Honestly, has anybody else do that to themselves or did that to themselves? Absolutely sure anything bad happened in their life was because they did something wrong.
I'm going to have to ask you to stop driving.
You guys understand we do this to ourselves? Listen to me, please. It ain't true. You who are here that has accepted Christ as your Savior, don't you know God loves you and there is nothing you can do to change that? You can't even expound on that. But you said that if I did certain things, I could have blessings fall in my life, and you can. If you choose tomorrow to pray with your husband every day and to read the Bible with him every day, you will have a peace and a blessing on your marriage that you've never experienced before, that anything you've ever done. What if I don't? You won't have that peace. There'll always be something missing. Well, then God will punish me if I don't. No. Stop. You're doing it again. He's not punishing you if you don't. He's blessing you if you do. Well, what if I don't? He's not going to curse you. God does not curse his people. Do you understand, guys? Here, the writer of this book is saying there is a rest. Man, you know what the rest is? That knowledge that God's love for you is nonstop, abounding. You didn't earn it, and you're not gonna. And here, how he explains it. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Let me explain to you. He says, the writer, you who are Christians, you have the gospel preached to you. Anybody here not yet know what the word gospel means? Because the world completely screws that word up. The word gospel, literally in the Greek and in the Hebrew, means good news. It doesn't mean truth or verity. Oh, yes, I got gospel truth. What do you mean gospel truth? Those two things don't even make any sense. Good news. You know what the good news is? God loves you. You know what the bad news is? You can't make him stop, even if you think you deserve it. You ever do something really bad and you're like, God, you should kick my butt right now because I really deserve it? No, that was your daddy. I don't kick your butt. I just love you through it. Yeah, but I really deserve it. And if like something bad happened, I'd feel a lot better. You ever sin really bad and the next day have a great blessing fall in your life and you're like, maybe I should keep doing that stupid thing. He said, the gospel was preached to the Jews also. And you know what, in form? Moses preached the gospel to them and told them, God is going to take us to the promised land. And then they stood at the top of the hill and looked at the valley, the land of Canaan, and said, God promises us that land. And then some of the men that were in there said, yeah, but there's giants in that land. There's giants, and they're going to kill us. And there's two of them. Anybody remember who? Joshua and Caleb, who said, God's with us. Those people, they'll be like our bread. Let's go and take them now. We'll go take them right now. God promised us. No, they wouldn't do it. And because they wouldn't do it, they refused to listen to the good news and had to travel in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know why? Because of unbelief of the gospel. Because they didn't believe the good news. And here, the writer is trying to associate the Jew with the Christian and go, listen, how you living your life, man? Are you torturing yourself every day? It's time as a Christian to rest as the Jews were supposed to rest. He uses the word rest here like 12 times. Listen. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do not enter that rest as he said. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way. And now he quotes the book of Genesis. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it. And those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying, in David today, after such a long time, it has been said. What did we say last week? Same thing he's saying this week. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Whatever culture, whatever belief system, whatever bad father or mothering you had, put it away now, because that ain't God. You're in a whole new world now. And this new world says this. It was a very great founding father of the church. His name escapes me. It was in the first century of the church. I forget his name. Huh? No, that was a Caesar. He said, if you want to know the plan that God has for your life, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and strength, and then do whatever you want. Well, I wonder what I should, I wonder if I should move to Texas. Well, tell me what your life looks like first. Well, I do my devotions every morning. Me and my wife pray together. We go to church. We serve. You want to move to Texas? I think I do. And I move to Texas. It's the people who are confused, who are about what they should and should not do, are the people that are not loving God with everything they got. Well, I got offered this job, and I'm not sure I should take it. Well, let's talk about what your life looks like. Love God with everything that you got, and then do whatever you want. And then every disappointment is an appointment from God. How great is that? Me and my wife are looking into buying some property right now, and we're going through all this stuff with it, and the property came back here, and the property came back here. Faye and Richard were in the middle of building their house on Austin and Elena's property, and the city red tagged, and I can't wait to see why. Why, God? Why? Because in the end, you always find out. You always look and you go, you know, at the time it really sucked, but now I see. And what's that old, is an old country song? I think I mentioned a couple of, I'm so glad for the times that God said no.
Unanswered prayer.
The prayers that God said no to. Those are the best ones, man. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You guys understanding this? Like, it's so, I'm not even going to get into the part of James. We'll discuss what James says about works and faith. Let's not discuss that now. Let's talk only to the people who are working their butts off to try to get God to love them. Stop. Stop. He loves you so much. Your love and your works have to stem from the original love that he poured upon you. Listen, when we started this church, it's a very funny thing, guys, and I'll never forget this story because I talked to so many people, so many pastors about this. So in 2005, we're at our old church and we're serving, and me and my wife were in couples ministry, and I was in men's ministry, and I was in new believers ministry, and then we had the prayer meetings every, there's four or five ministries that I was really involved in because I wanted to submerge my life in my church. My church needed people. There's so many people, and people needed people. They needed leaders. They needed people to walk the walk. They needed prayer. And me and my wife would, you know, go to church first thing in the morning and not come home till night and then go back to church for the prayer meeting, just like we're doing now. And then we came out and started this church in 2006, and we only started on Wednesday nights. First it was Wednesday night. It's like Sunday. What do I do? Because, you know, one of the guys at my old church told me, he said, once you start your church, don't come back here. I'm like, why not? It's like, because it looks bad. It looks like you're trying to get people to go to your church by coming to church here. That's a horrible thing to say to somebody. So, like, I've told that guy a couple times, like, that was terrible. You shouldn't have said that to me. That was terrible. So I would have took people from the church that has 20,000 people. Right? Come on, dude. I think you missed the point here. But nevertheless, I found myself really convicted, really feeling guilty about not being busy. I went from being involved in ministry 3-4 days a week all the time to now having nothing to do. You know, our Bible study on Wednesday night, we had like 12 people show up. Like, okay, well, I've talked to every one of them. Is everything right? I call them up, hey, how's it going? Everything's good. You sure? And if you are here and you are feeling guilty because you're not busy, stop. You don't have to earn God's love. And maybe it's the season for you not to be busy, to take a rest. If Joshua wanted to give them rest, he says, Joshua couldn't give them rest. The only rest he could have given them was like going into the valley and killing all the people for them. But when you don't believe and your faith is mixed with you don't have faith and that's mixed with an unbelief of God's word, of course you're going to feel like you're not doing anything. Of course you're going to feel like God doesn't love you. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Well, he believes in you a lot more than you believe in him. And oh, what a feeling that is, right? I hope you're catching on to this. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall short according to the same example of disobedience. So, how now, if you're here, do you find that rest? Because some of you guys might be saying, well, it's a lot easier said than done. Not easier said than done. My whole life is filled with doing stuff that I'm not supposed to be doing. I'm working. I'm not praying for people. There's a whole lot of things that you're thinking to yourself, I should be doing, but I'm not doing. And you want to know what God's answer is? This is amazing. Hebrews 4:12, my life verse. If you ever get an email from me, this is my life verse. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Read the word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. If your faith is weak, read the Bible. The Bible isn't some black letters on white pages that I gotta read the Bible. It's really simple, guys. If you go to the gym every single day, you know what'll happen? You'll start to feel better. Crazy! You go for a walk every day. You take a walk every day, get your heart rate up to 100, 125 beats a minute. If you're an athlete, 150, 175. Every single day, you know what will happen? Your body will heal itself. You notice when you had COVID, all you want to do is sit still? I just want to lay down. I don't do nothing. Worst thing you could have done, get up, get moving, get started, push through it. No, that's not what they said. No, that's exactly. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to put you on an intubator. Put a thing, and put this virus all through your lungs. Sorry. That's why 98% of people who got intubated died. 99.97. Crazy. Get up. Take care of yourself. Why am I using that? I'll tell you why I'm using that, guys. It's the same thing with the Bible. Read the Bible every day. You get spiritually stronger and healthier. Read it every day. Just take a chapter. Hey, me and Eric just sat down last week and we talked about, hey, what kind of Bible study do you do? Well, here's my Bible study. I read a proverb that matches the day. There's 31 Proverbs. I read the proverb. Today is the 27th, right? I read the 27th proverb this morning. Then I read a psalm. This morning I had to start all over in the Psalms again. I'm in Psalm 5 today, or which psalm am I in? I don't remember. I got to look it up. Yeah, I read Psalm 7 this morning. Yeah, 7. And then I read Proverbs 7 because I'm teaching that on Wednesday night, but that's just between us. And then I read Hebrews 4 because I was teaching that this morning. And then I read Matthew chapter 16. It's really one of those really cool stories about Peter says to him, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said to him, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." And that's my Bible devotion every day. Every day. In the last 5 years, you know how many days I've missed? 2. It's because I had to wake up at 4 in the morning, drive my family to Georgia, and I was so tired when I got there, I couldn't finish reading. Other than that, I don't miss. Don't miss. Can't miss. I'm afraid to miss. I'm afraid I'm going to get weak. I don't want to be weak. You know where I was yesterday at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? In the gym, working out. You know why? I'm afraid I'm going to get weak. 56 years old now, you know? Lose shape pretty quick. You guys understanding this, please? But I'm trying to... You don't... God's not holding his blessing back from you. You're holding a blessing back from yourself. All right. Listen. Let's what time is it? Oh, it's 11:52. Okay. Let's run through this real quick again. I'm in Matthew. I shouldn't be in Matthew. I did this morning. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Now, do you guys know the difference between your soul and between your spirit? Your soul is your emotions. Your spirit is what houses the temple, is the temple of the living God. So sometimes you have this feeling, but sometimes you have this knowledge. And trying to understand where that feeling and that knowledge begins and ends, you're only going to get that through the Word of God. Do you understand? There's an old saying, if you see somebody that reads the Bible too much, they're too stiff and staunch. You see somebody who prays too much, they're weird. You got to mix it together. I think the Lord is telling me I should... I was at the beach last Sunday and this girl walked by, And I think the Lord told me to pray for her. No, he didn't. That was your soul wanting to pray for her. So what did you do? I had one of the ladies pray for her, just in case. Because you don't want to do stupid stuff. But is it bad to pray for somebody? No, but let somebody else pray for her. God told me to pray for that dude. So I went and prayed for the dude. And that's how you discern between your soul and your spirit. Make sense? When we were young Christians, me and my wife, I'd go from church, right from work, and she would meet me there with the kids. And sometimes she'd go there, and there'd be a woman sitting next to me. And I'd say, oh, hey, this is my wife, so-and-so. My wife would go, who's that? It's like a woman I met at work today. I invited her to church. And she's like, you got to stop doing that. I'm like, why? She's like, do I need to explain that to you? Yeah, I mean, it's an appointment that God set up. Honey, you need to learn. Now, I hope that this is confusing some of you. Some of you guys, that doesn't make any sense. Your wife doesn't want you to invite a woman to church? Well, I don't want her inviting a man to church. If I got to church and there was a dude sitting next to my wife, hey, I met this guy at the store, and I told you guys some stories. You know how that's going to work out with me. Right? And that is the soul and the spirit being divided asunder. And that is the, and believe me when I tell you, that's the cursory beginning, totally the initial understanding of the difference between your soul and your spirit, of your flesh and your soul. You understand me, guys? Yes. How do you discern that? Just the Word of God, man. You got to read that Word of God. I'm getting married. Oh, who is it? Oh, I met this guy online. Is he a Christian? He says he goes to Catholic Church. But I met him. The Lord set it up. Yeah, I don't know. That might be your soul or your flesh. I hope I'm making sense. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. What did Spanky say? How many times we got to quote the same thing? What did Spanky say? You could fool some of the people some of the time. You could fool all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. And the great thing about the Word of God, it reveals your heart to God so that you are not self-deceived. Watch this, guys. Show me somebody who doesn't have somebody over them in authority, and I'll show you somebody who's on their way to going astray. If you're here and you're a man, tell me who your pastor is. Tell me who your pastors are. Tell me who can say something to you and you listen just because they said it. Because if you can't do that, you're in trouble. And I'm going to tell you ladies the same thing. Who is above you in the Lord? Who can say to you, stop, that's wrong, don't do that, you're wrong? And who can't? And who do you say that to? Listen to what I tell you. There's three men in my life. And anytime you guys think I'm wacky, you call any of them. You got Ken Graves, Bangor, Maine, Calvary Chapel, Central Maine. You got Raz Vasquez, Calvary Chapel, Miami. And you got Jim Coy, Calvary Chapel, Mountainside in North Carolina. These guys call me anything they want. Yes, sir. No problem. Even if I don't agree, that's what I'll do. I got into this big old tiff with this other, there's these three other pastors. They're marching with Black Lives Matter, and one of them is supporting Antifa, and he's posting online, bowing down before some, like, what are you doing? Raz called me up, and he goes, Ryan, I need you to make up with that dude. I'm like, Raz, what are you talking about? This guy, I need you to make up with him, man. We have to have unity in the body. I'm like, Raz. The guy is marching with Black Lives Matter. It's a socialist, nihilist, anti-God organization. He said, I don't care. Make up with him. And I did. I called the guy up and apologized. Listen, I came on a little strong. I'm sorry, your thing's between you and God, I guess, but, you know, I mean, I didn't cop to the whole thing totally because there's still that rebellion in me, but I made up with the dude. I made up with the dude, man, because that is what you do in order to avoid. As soon as nobody can tell you nothing, guys, I can tell you story after story after story. I had this one guy come back from New York, one time start a church, and I said to him, who sent you out to start this church? He said, I don't need anybody to send me out. God talks to me. I said, I can't be a part of it then. You got to have somebody over you. You got to. Ladies, you got to have somebody who can tell you, stop, you're wrong. Men especially, more so than the ladies. You got to have somebody who can say to you, cut it out, that's it, it's over now. But God told me, God didn't tell you. Yes, he did. Well, I'm telling you to stop. Okay. Then you'll answer to God if you're wrong. I'll answer to God if I'm wrong. You understand?
Yeah.
Does this make sense to you guys? Super, super important stuff. Continuing. Again, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom to whom we must give an account. Seeing then, and here's where we finish, that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of all those things that he just told us, the Bible just called the Lord Jesus the great high priest so that nobody here, man or woman, could ever say, I'm alone. Nobody knows how I feel. The Lord Jesus knows exactly how you feel. He was tempted in every way you are, and yet without sin. Therefore, you can come to him. If you are a murderer like me, if you are a homosexual, if you are a pervert, if you, whatever you are, it doesn't matter to God. You come boldly to his throne of grace to find help in your time of need, and he gives you more grace and more grace and more grace. Prideful, more grace. Angry, more grace. Perverted, more grace. Because you cannot stop his love from flowing upon you. Rest. Rest. Do you know how many people I meet? This is the saddest thing in the world. I'll talk to some dude in the store or, hey man, you know, you should come hang out at church sometime. You didn't know I was gay, did you? Yeah, I knew you were gay. Yeah, gay people don't go to church. Why not? Well, I heard, I went to, my boyfriend told me, my girlfriend. Who told you that stuff? What lies have you been, what? We don't, nobody cares here who you sleep with at night. I don't care. You don't care who I yelled at yesterday? Then I don't care who you slept with yesterday. How's that? You see how that works? All our sin is grace covered. And we have this high priest who wanted to yell at the Pharisees, but kept his cool. We have this high priest who wanted to sleep with one of the women of the ministry, but didn't. We have this high priest who could have at any point in time put an end to the cross and been disobedient to his Father and didn't. So when we go to God tomorrow morning, maybe tonight for some of you, God, I am so sorry. I knew there was just something in me that felt like I should do something, and then I didn't do it, and now it's this sin of omission, or I shouldn't have done it, but I did it, and it's the sin of commission, and God says, I got you, come here. Let's start over. Man, you athletes and you daughters that are here, daughters and athletes are so in the same camp. You, You got this heavy-duty burden put on your neck, this yoke. You have to keep it stronger, better, faster. And sometimes you start to equate that with God's love. Are we doing communion?
Yeah.
Is that today?
Yeah.
You guys got another 5 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, come on. Go grab that. I'm sorry. I didn't even know. Nobody told me. I forget. So here's the thing. So let's do this communion based upon what we did. Grace. I'm sorry. Rest. So here's what I want you to do. You get the communion. Hold it. Don't take it. Hold it in your hands and just look at it and say to yourself over and over, rest. 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 Stop letting anybody tell you you got to earn, you don't measure up. You're never going to measure up. Don't you get it? It's just not going to happen. Again, we're going to talk about all the other grace versus works things later. Right now, and take a break. Take a break. Take a break. You didn't earn the break. You get the break for free. How great is that? So in case you don't know what communion is, communion is one of the sacraments of the church. It's one of the things that we do that resembles something else. It's something that God puts his spirit upon so that you can recognize that there's something a little bit different, a little bit more than what you're actually doing. Yeah, you got a little piece of bread, a little piece of matzah, a little cup of juice in your hand, but it represents something. It represents you speaking to God. And although we're doing this as a family, as a body, we're not doing this without the presence of the Lord. It's really just you and him in the bottom line. And it's you looking at the bread and saying, this is the body of Christ. It's you looking at the cup saying, this is the blood of Christ. And now fully understanding that this is a love that you can't earn, you just got it. You can't get it any more than you got it. Now look, if I was going to look at the guys that are standing up now collecting, look at these guys. Look at these. Jose, don't sit down now. We were just talking about you. Look at this guy sitting there. You know, I know what you did yesterday, bro. Don't even play that game with me like you serving God. Look at this guy over here, Jason. Oh yeah, you're a servant of the Most High God. Oh, forget about that one on the wall there. Oh, his grace. Yeah, I need one. Please. I'm not gonna move, I promise. I'll tell you about this guy. Oh, my goodness. I really, really hope that the message of what the Jews had to go through, that you don't have to go through, that the understanding of your faith, receiving the rest from God, that whatever it is that you grew up, whatever brokenness you grew up with in your heart, whatever brokenness that you grew up with, today is put to bed in rest. God's love for you is on you. You're not getting it off you. And let me tell you why. Hand up with the body. This is the body of Christ. It was broken. It was beaten. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that our sin could be forgiven. Do you understand that? For a second, I want you to just think about your worst sin. Whatever it is you think that you did that's so terrible, the thing that the enemy constantly hits you with in the back of the head. Oh, you can't serve God, Jason, because you did this. You can't serve God, Jose, because you did. He died so that you could serve him. You know why? You know, I watched my son get up and catch that plate. I watched Jose get up. You know why? Because the need was there. And I bet on both of them there was this, oh, I better not get up because, yeah. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. You ain't good enough. Lord, if you knew. There's one thing I hate about standing up here every week, guys. Lest somebody should look at me and think that I've accomplished something, I've gained something, like I'm something that I'm not. This is the body. If you will receive his forgiveness, enter into his rest, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that his love for you is unchanging, no matter what you do, go ahead. This is the blood of Christ, the representation. And let me tell you what it represents. It represents the breaking of the curse of the law. I read to you in Exodus 20, the thou shalt and thou shalt not. Did I not? How many of you guys can honestly sit here and say, with the other hand that's not holding the cup, raise your hand if you kept all those things at any point in time? Of course not. Nobody did. We're not going to. And because of that, you're all going to hell. Every one of you are going to hell because you could not keep those covenants, lest it be for what is in your right hand. For the blood that was shed, he who knew no sin became sin, that he could be our righteousness. Not only after we take the body does that become a part of us, and now what we didn't do, he did, but what we did do, don't drink this with anything but the lightest and most wonderful of joy. By drinking this, you're what the Bible calls wiping away the handwriting of the law. No longer do you need to keep the Ten Commandments. You know why? He did for us. You ready for something you don't deserve? Go on. It's been put like this. Grace is when you don't get what you do deserve. Did I say grace? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Mercy. You deserve to be punished for your sins. God gives you mercy. But grace is when you get what you don't deserve. All the blessings that flow on your life. All of the good things that God gives you. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. No rest in that. Hey, we're going to be at the beach tonight at 6. If you want to join us, there'll be work for you to do for the Lord, and there'll be a blessing in it. And if you don't, you want to stay home and watch TV, even if it's one of those stupid shows, God doesn't love you any less. How amazing. So I'll be there tonight because I want that blessing on my life. I'm going to get it. I hope I see you there. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for this rest. Whew. I pray for anybody that's here that they would know you and the power of your love to enter into that rest. And God, I pray for forgiveness on anybody who has been lied to and told because of something in their life God wouldn't love them. I pray mercy upon the heart that spoke those words and grace upon the heart that those words fell upon. We love you, God. And you know why we love you, God? Because you first loved us. You're awesome. And you're the only thing in this life that is awesome. Thank you, God. Bless your people with rest. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Amen.